Cape Talk.
A world view from London.
And the world view with John Adley is brought to you by OUTsurance. SMS out to 30674 now and you could save on car insurance. And if you don't, ask them for 500 Rand. Good morning, John. Hope you are well. Let's start with news out of the US. The disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction in 2020 has been overturned.
Good morning, Lester. Yeah, New York's highest court has ruled that during film producer Harvey Weinstein's rape trial 4 years ago, prosecutors were wrongly allowed to call witnesses whose accusations weren't part of the charges against him. And several actresses say this is unfair to survivors. Ashley Judd, who's made public her allegations against Weinstein, says she's in disbelief. But Weinstein's lawyers are saying that this ruling proves that even very unpopular suspects should be given a fair trial. He is actually still in prison due to his later conviction in a separate rape and assault case. He was sentenced to 16 years in Los Angeles last year. But the lawyer for Harvey Weinstein says the overturning of his rape conviction in New York will have a significant impact on that similar judgment in California. Jennifer Bongean says the LA jury who convicted Weinstein would have been influenced by the prior verdict in New York. So this has really shaken the victim's faith in the justice system. So hard fought for, because, you know, this case that's been overturned really launched the Me Too movement, you know, which exposed sexual abuse and misconduct at the highest levels in Hollywood. You know, the idea was that powerful people, powerful men in particular, who seemed untouchable, could now be held to account. And Gloria Allred, who represented the key prosecution witness in that trial that's now overturned, Mimi Haley, she says her client would consider testifying again in any new trial, which seems perfectly possible there will be a new trial. But she says that process of testifying was grueling and will be re-traumatizing for Mimi, and she and others may have to go through that ordeal all over again.
Around the world, particularly in Europe at the moment, Canary Islands, Barcelona, there's this move to protest in what people call unsustainable tourism. In fact, there was quite fierce protest in the Canary Islands last week. But now Venice has become the first city to charge an entrance fee for tourists.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually had a few days off in Amsterdam last week, and, you know, it wasn't peak holiday season, but my goodness, it felt, you know, absolutely rammed to the extent that, you know, could you really enjoy the sights and sounds? And of course, there's a bit of a similarity between Amsterdam and Venice. And the mayor of Venice has praised what he's saying is the very smooth launch of this new scheme. And it is a world first. And basically, you have to have a day pass. You have to pay €5 in order to get a ticket. That's if you're a day visitor. If you're staying overnight, that's different. So the first city in the world to introduce such a charge, it'll be enforced only at certain times over the next few months. Two-thirds of the 30 million annual visitors to Venice are day trippers. And of course, they crowd onto sites like the Rialto Bridge and St. Mark's Square. And the city's already under threat from rising sea levels. So, you know, this is something they've decided to do about it. €5, you pay it online. Your QR codes are then checked randomly across the city. Critics say it's just a quick way of making money and it doesn't address the, you know, the underlying issues of climate change, for instance, or indeed the other issue, which I know applies to Amsterdam as well. I was talking to some people who are living there. I'm sure it's similar. But it's really hard to find anywhere to live in these places, unless you've got, you know, loads of money, because, you know, there's so much tourist accommodation. So this is a trial. See what impact it has. And as you were sort of suggesting, I'm sure it's going to be watched by other cities around the world who are grappling with similar charges, similar challenges of, well, should we call it over tourism?
And then shock, horror, run for the hills. But first, Ward, the world's making far less wine, and yes, climate change is largely to blame.
I'm thinking I'm going to have to stock up in case the supermarket shelves are empty. I'm not sure it's going to get to that extent, but it is quite a big drop, you know, world wine production dropping 10% last year, and that is the biggest fall in more than six decades. And yeah, it is because of extreme climate changes, we're told. You can imagine it, can't you? Grapes need a certain conditions to grow. and extreme environmental conditions, including droughts, fires, other problems to do with climate, are mostly to blame for this drastic fall in wine production. That's according to the International Organization of Vine and Wine. Sounds like a good place to work. They cover nearly 50 wine producing countries. Australia and Italy suffered the worst, apparently, with 26 and 23% drops in wine production, almost a fifth. Spain lost more than 20% of its wine production. Harvests in Chile and South Africa down by more than 10%, so not as bad as others. Guess what, though? France bucked the falling harvest trend, a 4% rise in wine production across the channel from where I am, making France by far the world's biggest wine producer. So if I really am running out, I could just hop across the channel and pick some up.
All I'm saying is protect potatoes, because what I would do without vodka. John, really appreciate your time. Chat to you soon. Cheers.